Good morning. How are we all going?
Great.
Got a couple of greats and a good. That's awesome. Oh, no KFC, sorry, this week. I wonder if there's a few people who were waiting. I actually ate it last night, so couldn't resist. You know how you get up and speak sometimes? Well, I've looked at myself. You can video yourself. And I notice I do this all the time. Have you seen me do that? I heard a yes. Yeah. Has anybody found any jeans that don't have a front pocket? Could sew them up. I was thinking about wearing Shani's tights, but that'd probably look a bit weird. Because what I notice, if you fast forward, it's like in, out. It's like I'm doing the hokey pokey. You put your left hand in, and shake it all about. So, just point it out to me if I'm hands in the pockets too much. I want to start off this morning with a little video clip that Shani showed me, which I put on the church page this morning. And it's just a little bit of an introduction. Some of you may have seen it, but I think it's quite cool to where we're heading this morning. So listen to this for a few minutes.
Question. What are you called to do? I ask that question because we won't be judged according to what we did in life, but rather what we were called to do in life. Imagine with me standing before the throne of God and a scenario like this occurred. Evangelist Anderson, come forth and give an account of your stewardship on earth. Evangelist Anderson, I'm not an evangelist, I'm an accountant. I had an accounting firm. I had an Evangelist Anderson. Where are the 347,566 souls I called you to impact in Asia, son? Where are they? I'm an accountant. I had an accounting firm. I help churches. I help ministries with their finances, son. Where are the 347,566 souls in Asia I called you to impact? Son, where are they? Had you sought me, had you sought my face, I would have revealed this to you. And everything in regards to that man's calling was burned up before the judgment seat of Christ. Accountant Jones, step forward and give an account of your stewardship. Accountant Jones?
No, I
pastored for 35 years. I had a membership of 750 people. Accountant Jones, I called you to the marketplace. Had you done this, you would have significantly impacted two people. You and those two men would have helped churches with their finances, and those churches would have impacted 751,321 souls. If you would have sought me, I would have revealed this to you. And again, in regards to this man's calling, everything he's done in life would be burned up before the judgment seat of Christ. Sister Smith, come forth and give an account of your stewardship. I only raised three children. I never preached to nations. I never even been on a missionary trip. I only tried my hardest to raise my children in your way. Souls. Those three children impacted. You saw me and you heard my voice. You were obedient to my call. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So remember, in regards to the calling that's on your life, you won't be judged according to what you did. You will be judged according to what you were called to do.
Pretty powerful. Yeah. What are you called to do? Two things I like about that video is the guy sitting at his desk and he looks across at the globe and his heart is called there. But because of life's requirements, you could say, he never stepped into that call. What is burning in your heart that God has called you to do? The other one is obviously the lady. Wasn't called to go on massive missionary trips, but her calling was to raise three sons, and she was obedient. We're going through a little bit of a small mini-series on missions for the next few weeks, and I think that we quite often think of the terms missions, and we think, oh, I'm a bit afraid of that because God might call us to some country in the WOPS, where I have to live in a tin shack, sell everything I have, potentially be martyred for my faith, and all sorts of horrible things could happen. And some people are called into the mission fields like that. But we're all given a mission. What has God called you to do? Are you obedient in following that? I want to start this morning by looking at Jesus' last words before he ascended into heaven. I think if we gathered around our family ones and we knew this, we had one last statement to make. Our words would be key. You know, if we were to express our heart's desire, we would probably not talk to them about, can you look after my TV and my house and all my possessions. We would talk about each other and how much you love them and how much they should love each other because time is precious. So I want to have a look at Jesus' last words in Acts 1. So if you've got your Bibles or your electrical devices, please swipe there. Acts 1. We're looking at verse 8. So prior to this, Jesus had reminded Theophilus, Theo, that dude. I think he does that to trick us, doesn't he? That the disciples were to remain in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit had come. Okay, and even still, the disciples in a verse prior to that said, oh God, is this the day that you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel? They still didn't quite comprehend what Christ had already done. And so Jesus showed some grace and mercy and didn't clip round the ears. He said for them that it wasn't their time to know what the Father does. But then in verse 8, he says, this is his very last statement. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes. That was his very last statement. His charge, his call for us to be his witnesses. We are to witness on behalf of Christ, of who he was and what he did. I want to know if you noticed four key words, the same word in that verse. It's in there four times. The word is and. It's not awe. But if you will, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, and in Jerusalem, and in all of Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Not awe. God has called us to be involved in every single area of witnessing Christ. So when we think about missionaries and we think about missions and overseas, and you know that God hasn't necessarily called you to go there, he still calls you to partner with those that are going there. We still have a responsibility to be involved in some capacity to reaching the ends of the earth. It's not an awe. We don't get to choose. God is, Jesus is saying that we need to be involved in Jerusalem, our local area, our town, our Judea, our district, Waikato. How are you involved in the Waikato district in witnessing Christ? In Samaria, you could probably look at that as New Zealand. How are you being a witness for Christ in New Zealand? What do you do with your vote? What do you do with all those things that we have an opportunity to stand and support? What things are you liking on Facebook? Are you witnessing Christ in your immediate proximity, in your district, in your town? And what are you doing to witness Christ? And how are you partnering with what God's called us to do to witness to the ends of the earth? Now, I know Phil is going to bring this bad boy up again in a couple of weeks, the Way of Faith card. There is an option in here for missions. And yes, it is a financial option, because we are all called to partner with what God wants us to do, to be his witness to the ends of the earth. You don't necessarily have to go on the trip, but if God calls you to that, then we need to be obedient like that woman and say, yeah, I will go. Because you have no idea, like Andrea said this morning, where it will take you. But we are called to be a partner to that. So just warning you that I know that this will come up. And it is vitally important that we as a church and you as an individual are partnering with what God wants us to do, to be his witness to the ends of the earth. This morning, I am only going to focus on our little Jerusalem, our proximity. So you can breathe a little bit. No one's going to call you up to go to some shack in a foreign country today. We're just going to look at this morning about those around us. But I want you to realize first and foremost that your witnessing in your local proximity is just a part of what God's called us to do. It's not an or, it's an and. Okay? So always remember that. So I want to start this morning by comparing two men in the Bible. And so if you have a turn to Luke 18, we can go there. And this will all make sense near the end. So Luke 18, verse 18. It's the story about the rich ruler. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Good question. "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad, because he was a man of great wealth. He didn't get it. He didn't see the treasure that Jesus was. He didn't see the treasure that God is. He saw his possessions, and he held them in hand and weighed them up. "I'm not sure if I want to give up my wealth to follow you. I want eternal life, but I've built myself this great wealth. And I want to hold on to that. I don't. And he left sad. He didn't get it. How many of you would say that you are the rich ruler? How many of you would consider yourselves to be rich? Because God asked me this question, because we obviously don't have a home at the moment. We're still camping out of the Atwoods. Jesus, I've got some grace. And God was saying, do you still consider yourself rich or do you consider yourself poor? And I think, well, I don't even have a house. Can't be that rich at the moment. I know God's doing something, but I feel pretty poor. Then God said to me, I want you to do a little bit of research on what the world looks like from God's perspective. And so I did. Did some Googling this last week or two and looked out what the income is for the world. And the average income per month is $1,000. And God sits there and goes, how rich do you feel now? So, yeah, I've still got my struggles. And then he showed me a piece in an article that I was reading from the World People. 33% of the world live on less than $2 a day. How rich do I feel now? Hate to burst your bubble, but we are rich. And God is talking to us. Because God doesn't look at our current situation and saying, oh, well, you're in the New Zealand economics and you're not as high up. God looks at his world and all his children. And he says 33% of the world, 33 out of 100 people, living on less than $2 a day. And God kind of said to me, if I was to stand one of them beside you, how rich would you look? What would you complain about? And I all of a sudden realized that I am a rich ruler. How do I view my possessions in order to partner with God and witnessing his goodness to the world? Am I weighing them up? Have I got who Jesus was? And am I prepared to allow God to utilize whatever he has given me in order to witness to the world of who Christ is? And God told me to do this. He said, put your little two fingers in a little diamond shape. He said, now look at it really close, because this is you on earth and all that you have built around yourself. And he said, look at your struggles and you're worried about your rent and you're worried about your, you know, everything that on earth. He said, now look at who I am. Are you worried? Do you trust me? Do you treasure me? Or are you worried about this tiny little bit of stuff that you have earned for yourself? In fact, I actually gave it to you. And God's just like a little bit of apology, going for some sad attitude. When I thought I was poor and broken, when 33% of the world live on less than $2 a day, we are rich. So this should be filled out by every single one of us when we realize that we are partnering, called to partner and be a witness with God. We are rich and partnering with people to reach those that are not or don't know Christ yet. Second person I want to talk to is a little man. His name's Zacchaeus. the other point I wanted to make, sorry, back that up a little bit. $2 a day. If you earn $200 a day into your house, $1,000 a week, you are earning 100 times more. That blew me away. If I earn into my home $200 a week, I earn 100 times what 33 people out of every 100 earn. That may bring it into a little bit of perspective for some of us. That's staggering. Let's partner. Partner with God. So, just, we're in the same book, Luke 19 instead of 18, we're looking at Zacchaeus, the other person. So, verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount." Here is a little man, a wealthy man, also a rich man, who saw Jesus and he got it. He saw the value and who Christ was, God. And he said, "I don't care about this stuff anymore. In fact, I'm going to give half of it away, and anybody else that I've done wrong, I will use whatever is left to pay them back, because nothing is worth more than pursuing Christ." Paul said, "I count everything as dung, crap, garbage, except for knowing Christ." He got it. And the difference between these two men is in the following verse that I found quite amazing. Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to his house." He got it. He understood the value of who God was and the fact that everything that we have and been given is for us to use in order to be a witness and to love Christ and to love God and pursue him and to chase him. He's like that treasure hidden in the field. In Matthew, it talks about Matthew 13:44. Says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field." It wasn't like the rich ruler who's weighing it up and left sad. He saw the treasure, wasn't worried about the possessions, did everything he could to pursue the treasure with joy. It was gladness. It wasn't, Because when you start weighing up what we have as rich rulers, we've already lost it. These two men, I think, are great witnesses about what to do with wealth. No, I'm not here saying you've got to go and sell everything and live poorly in a financial sense, but I am encouraging to view what you have as God's and then for him to use as he calls you to step out and do what God's called you to do. Because that's just stuff. The treasure is in your relationship with God and pursuing him and being obedient and standing before him and saying, "God, I did it all. I won my race. I raced it. I finished it to the end." And you hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," because you got it. He is the treasure. He is the one worth pursuing. So the question when it comes to our little Jerusalem, do you want to see this town on fire for Jesus? That's not a rhetorical question. Do you want to see this town on fire for Jesus? Yeah. I hope you answer with your heart, not your head. Because if you acknowledge that, go, "Oh yeah, that'll be nice. That's a good idea." You haven't quite got it. Because we are called to be his witnesses. Are you hungry to see this town on fire for God? The question I asked then, for those that have said yes, how do we show town who Jesus is? How do we display who Christ is? How do we outwork it? How do we be his witness? I want to have a look at John 17. So if we can go there. John 17, verse 18. Now Jesus is praying to God. Now, I think you can pretty much safely bet that if Jesus is praying to God, his will's in line with the Father. So I think we're pretty safe to say that this is a good, safe prayer. John 17, verse 18. Jesus is praying to God. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Just a little reminder. We are called to be his witness. For them, I sanctify myself that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. In order for the world to know that God sent Jesus, it says here that we are to be one. Unity. And I battled a little bit with that for a while because I always thought that, man, if they just came to church and saw someone get healed, surely they would recognize that Christ is who he is. If someone heard a great message or heard the worship and if someone heard a prophecy, that, man, how did they know that? That they would believe. And these things are all fantastic things, but Jesus says here, for the world to recognize that you sent me, I want my people to be one. Yeah. Unified. Unity. And so it's kind of like a complete opposite for me when I think about this mentally. Because like I said, I think it's displays, but God says, no, just be one. Be one. Be unified, and then they will know that God sent me. Do you know what funny thing is about unity? You don't develop unity by developing unity. You develop unity by having a common goal. When you have a common goal, and that common goal is the obsession of your life, unity will come naturally. So what is a common goal for us as individuals and as a church to show that we are one and united? What's our common goal? I think there are two things. The first two things. First one is Jesus' last words. Have to be powerful. We are called to be his witnesses. We should all see Jesus as the treasure and God as the treasure that he is, and realize that he's called us to be his witnesses. We should all be involved in witnessing who Christ is, not hiding our Christianity away, but displaying Jesus. It's easy to talk about Jesus, and we could say Jesus is awesome. He doesn't care about your ethnicity. He doesn't care about your struggles or your background. He's not interested in your financial status. Yeah, it's easy to tell people about Jesus, but we need to act like Jesus. And we need to show Jesus. Because it has to come from a heart. It has to be an obsession within ourselves. And the second thing that I think that we should look at is God's greatest commandments. In Matthew 22, verse 36. If we have a look there. One of them is talking about the Pharisees. An expert in the law tested him with the questions, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." That's the treasure. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. I believe God is saying to us individually and corporately as a church that that is our two responsibilities. To be his witness and to love God with all our hearts and love our neighbor. To witness Christ to our neighbor. Simple way. A couple of things that I want to just bring to your attention and what that may look like for us. We've just heard this morning, Shani, I can talk about this one, it's a little bit close to home, is with loving arms. God gave her a ministry. It's not Shani's ministry, it's God's. She has just been obedient to the call that God's put her on her life. And now God's shining the spotlight, not on Shani, through Shani, but for loving arms, for his ministry. And now there's a whole district that's going to hear a little bit more about loving arms because God's put it on her heart. And she's been obedient. Another one is Lindsay with his firewood. Lindsay has been called by God to arrange and do firewood for those that need firewood in the community. And you should ask him about what God, the doors God's opening for him. Because God is shining a light on a ministry that he's called Lindsay to do. It's not Lindsay's ministry, it's God's. And Lindsay's just been obedient. And now the council are on board, offering him firewood. Because he's bold enough to step out and say, this is what I believe God wanted me to do for those in our community that need it. God is shining a spotlight and God is opening up doors that you wouldn't believe. Talk to him about it. Partner with him about it. Partner with Shani. But there are many things that we can do to show love. What are you called to do? What is God calling you to do? Because it's not your ministry, it's his. And he will do things for you that will blow you away. Take you to places that you never thought were possible. Because God's desire is for us to witness him, to love our neighbor. Not love, you know, we all love ourselves, that's pretty easy. But to love our neighbor is a little bit tricky. So we're going to have some fun. For the next 3 minutes, you're going to get into groups of 5 and 6, and I'm going to ask you this question. I want you to tell me 3 things that keeps us from loving our neighbor. Some practical work to do right now, make you uncomfortable. That's fun. So you have 3 minutes to get into a group of 5 or 6 and ask this question. What are 3 things that keeps us from loving our neighbor? On your marks, get set. Go. 3 minutes. Come on, people. We're here to witness Christ and to learn. Get out of your comfort zones. Stay in your groups when you're finished. I'm looking for 3 things from each group. Just 3. Okay. Okay, have you got three things? Should have been fairly easy. So stay in your little groups. Corrie, what's one thing that your group came up with? Yeah, yep. That's good. Louise. Yep. Absolutely. Louise, what's one thing that you had that was... Yeah, so who is our neighbor as well, you said? Yeah, our neighbor is anybody that God puts in your proximity. It's not necessarily your next door neighbor. How many of you know your next door neighbor's names? That's a question. How many people know the people that live on your street? Gabe, do you have one from your group? Neighbors are never convenient.
They always want something when it's not convenient.
Yeah. So our neighbours get in our way, don't they? They're inconvenient, they're a problem. Because what do we do most of the time? We wake up in the morning and say, God, I've got so much to do today, can you help me? Instead of saying, God, what do you want me to do today? Can I help you? With what I've got to do today, obviously, we still have things to do. Yeah. I've noticed that living in town. Oh, my goodness. You guys know how to party. Isaac, yep. What's one thing that...
We've got some neighbours that we don't really like. So we've got some with... they're a bit pushy about how they want things done. And then we've got some other neighbours that kids are a bit naughty and they're hard to hang out with.
Yeah. So we perceive people. And we think... You know, sometimes we put up barriers because of those sort of situations, or we don't quite like them. We do that with family, don't we, too? Church? Mum, you can be the public speaker for your group because I know you love that. You got a microphone? Just one thing.
One of our things, I suppose, was rejection.
Yeah.
Because of our own hurts and our own places we come from, and just stepping out into what we think God is wanting us to do sometimes, and then it blows up. So it's,
Yeah, sometimes we are afraid. Fear is a big thing. What if I get rejected? Because if you start talking about Jesus and showing Jesus and loving your neighbor through your actions, then they realize that, oh, I have a little bit of accountability. I have to kind of watch what I say and how I'm acting or what I'm doing and all this sort of stuff that can prevent us, because if I step that line, then I'm opening myself up and the fear of being rejected is huge. But what we don't realize, what we forget, is that our neighbors see us drive out of our driveways every Sunday morning. That's another thing. Same, a different question. What are three practical things that we can do this week to show love to our neighbor? You have 2 minutes to answer that question. This is going to be the challenge. Because what you put down, you might just have to find God's asking you to do. Okay.
Just to suggest you might want to ask Lindsay, just so that people know who Lindsay Alf is. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, let's put a pause in there, and I'm going to ask a group. Davina, what is one of the practical things that you can do to show love to your neighbor this week?
We're going to smile at them.
Smile at them. That's a good start. Stop being grumpy bum Christians. Yeah, shut up.
And maybe a random act of kindness.
A random act of kindness. That's cool. Doesn't have to be massive. Doesn't. Richard Tiddy. What's one thing that we can do to show love to our neighbours this week?
This week. Offer to pray for them, take a punt.
Yeah. That's deep, because you actually have to know your neighbour. Don't you? Phil Froze. Have you got something in the back in your group? Just make it up as you go, mate. Just one thing you can do to show love for your neighbour. No? No, that's cool. What about the group in front? Got a volunteer there? Yeah.
Just give your neighbour the time of day, communicate.
Yeah. Yeah. Acknowledge them. You can't be a witness, or you can't show love to God for someone you're ignoring. Don't even know that exist, or pretend they're not there. That doesn't show value. Doesn't show worth. Oh, Bronnie's got one. Look at this. We're getting keen now. Hands up.
Oh, we were just talking about times when you're isolated and you don't even see your neighbour.
Yeah.
And I remembered a time when I was like that, but I would ask each week, God, who shall I send a card to this week? Mm. And always he'd come up with a name.
Yeah, cool. I think what I'm wanting to do for you guys this morning is to wake us up a little bit and realize what God's asked us to do. Love the neighbor. It's not always easy. It doesn't have to be a massive thing. But God loves them. And we are his witnesses. We are called to love them and to reveal Christ. And we need to be unified in this. It's no good a pocket doing the odd little thing. We need to have this as an obsession of our hearts, of our desires to display Christ. And that doesn't matter. Well, I can't really afford to. I've got this. Oh, no, you're rich. God is your provider. Stop looking at this as being this. Start looking at your God as being this big. Your provider. And have faith and trust in him. Because he will give you everything that you need for your life. The word says that. But we've got to step out in faith. Just a quick personal testimony. We, Shani and I, have been trying to save, to get into this home that God has lining up for us. And it's expensive. God called me the other day to give it all away. And so I was more scared of telling my wife than I was saying yes to God. Not that she's not, but it's for us it was... Man, it's faith. Because we needed over just over two grand to get into this house, and we've had nothing, and we'd save little bits. God, knowing God's our provider, and God said, stop looking at your little bit, because I'll provide it. So we did. Emptied our bank account, gave it to this person. Within 20 minutes, we had received all the money we needed for our house. You can't. God will provide. It's for his glory. To love your neighbor, no matter what the cost, knowing that God is behind you. God is funding your mission. Yeah. It's not out of your own strength. It's not have to be, it's out of your own pocket, but it comes from the glory of God. Do the little things. Practice on yourselves if you find that uncomfortable. Get to know one each other. Smile. Say hello. Learn each other's names. Today we have no fellowship afterwards. fellowship. Invite someone around to your home. Invite them to a place for coffee. Start loving. Let's start making that an obsession of this church, to love each other, to be unified, because that will show our community that Jesus came. Let's not get caught up in our little bubble. Let's get up in the morning and say, God, what do you want me to do today? Do that every day this week and step out in faith. It'll be awesome. So, the challenge is to love your neighbor this week. Mow their lawns. Smile. Do more than a smile. Say hello. Invite them over for coffee. Introduce yourself if you haven't. That's just your physical neighbor. But let's go out into this week with our eyes open for what God and who God is bringing into your proximity. Let's not count the cost, because it is a soul that one day could be in heaven because you showed them love. Amen. Father God, we want to thank you so much that you're an amazing God, that you came and loved us, broken. Just sometimes feels like we weren't worth the effort, but you so loved us that you came and gave it all. God, help us to see you as the treasure that you are. To let go of all the things that stop us from doing what you have called us to do, but that we will have the faith and the confidence that you are behind us and you will take us on an amazing journey as we step into what you call us to do every day. Help us to step out of the things that you have not called us into. If you have got something on our hearts that is burning, Father God, help us to pursue that and not have fear of what else might fall or crumble away at the sides, because you are a God who provides everything and you have called us to be your witness in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Help us to partner in every single area, to realize that what we do every day makes a difference and can make a difference in someone else's life if we love our neighbor. God, help us to build that unity around that. Help that to be an obsession for this church, to love our neighbors. Love you first and love our neighbors, Father God. God, I want to hear witnesses. I want to hear accounts, testimonies of things you did through people's obedience and loving your neighbors this week. God, let our Facebook page in that be full of you wouldn't believe what God did this. Yes, we would believe it, but well done for stepping out in faith, because our God's awesome. God, we give you all the glory and all the praise. Help us to love people the way that you loved us. In your precious name. Amen. Just a quick reminder of Thursday night, if you